Good morning. If we haven't met, my name is Doug. And yeah, like Bree said, this morning's just a little bit different. Now, next week, Pastor Dwayne is going to wrap up our series on the Holy Spirit. I'm really grateful for him and the whole team that's going to be preaching over the next few months. But a couple of weeks ago, while we were in this Holy Spirit series, I talked about, if you were here, I talked about this old Celtic image, how they thought of the Holy Spirit as like the wild goose. Does anybody remember that? You know, and the idea behind that is the Holy Spirit can be kind of unpredictable and untamable and often leading us maybe where we didn't expect to go. In fact, what's kind of funny is I realized yesterday that today, it was 9 years ago today that I first spoke at Hope, and I just was a guest speaker. 9 years ago, just a guest speaker, and then a couple months later, came on staff. But that was very much like a wild goose chase. Like, that's where the origin of the whole statement came from, but just following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now, in keeping with that idea of just trying to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, as I was thinking about this week, this isn't directly a Holy Spirit series type message, but I kept coming back to this prompting. So the teaching we'll have today is really just out of that, following the promptings of the Holy Spirit and where I hope Jesus wants to bless our church family. So as we get ready to step into this three-month sabbatical, I wanted to come back to this picture that's become a part of the story and the language of the Hope Covenant Church family over the last 8 or 9 years. So some of you may have seen, where did it go? Got hidden over here. All right. Some of you may have seen over the years these. Now, if you've been here 4 years or 8 years, these little towels that are maybe, this is tied to my briefcase here, but maybe tied to a purse or a backpack or a door handle, a rear view mirror. And it's just a towel, but what it represents is something profoundly important. This represents really the way of Jesus. And here at Hope, we have come to sometimes refer to it as the fellowship of the towel, the fellowship of the towel. And the idea behind this, it's really a picture of a church family that gives up the way of grasping and climbing and learns by the power of the Holy Spirit to love and serve like Jesus. So with that in play, I want to move into this message by reading our text for this morning out of Philippians chapter 2. We'll start with verse 5. We'll read to verse 11. And at some point, I'm going to ask you to join in and read with me. So pay attention because we're going to get there. All right. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being formed in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Now let's read this last part together. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that Spirit of Jesus, you would open our eyes today to the way of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Amen. This here is representing the ladder of success. The ladder of success. And in our society, in our world, there are a lot of ladders like this. And ladders like that are constructed around the promise that if you could just make it to the top, if there is a top, if you can make it to the top, that's where all the good stuff is. The message in our culture tells us that if we will devote our lives to climbing the ladder, we will achieve status and success or recognition or respect or significance or power. And so in our world, in our culture, we can, if we want to, we can devote our whole life to this, climbing the ladder. A lot of people do. Any one of us can choose to become and to be a ladder climber. But problem is, ladders actually do something to us. That way of thinking, that way of life trains us to rank people. We start to think about, okay, who's above me? Who is beneath me? And where do I fit on the ladder? Now, along these similar lines, here's a little trivia, a little trivial information for your day. Did you know that if we went to 10 different chicken farms and randomly selected one hen from each of them, and then put all 10 of these hens together in a little pen, and we scattered some seed, in a very short amount of time, we would witness an amazing natural phenomenon. It's the formation of what is called a dominance hierarchy. A dominance hierarchy. Don't worry, I'm not that smart. Everyday language, we call it a pecking order. Right? You guys hear of a pecking order before? Heard of this? Yeah, a pecking order. And what happens is that the hens themselves quickly determine who gets to peck whom. Right? So hen number one is dominant all over all the others, gets to peck at all the other nine. Hen number two does the same thing, except hen number two can't peck at hen number one, but she can peck all the hens beneath her, and then hen number three will not challenge number two or one, but all those below, and so it goes all the way down to unlucky hen number 10, who just gets machine gunned by all the hens above her, has nobody else to peck. Very frustrating to be hen number 10, right? Yeah. Some of us, I think, might hear that and go, oh yeah, actually, tell me about it. I've worked at a place like that. Or maybe I've been in a family, that kind of family system. Or maybe you're like, oh yeah, I've sat in one of those meetings, right? See, we understand this because we human beings have our own versions of pecking orders. Like, we're better at figuring this out naturally than we probably would like to admit. And so pecking orders and ladder climbing, they're really two ways of talking about the same thing. Both of them are about position and status. Who's above me, who's beneath me, who gets noticed, who gets ignored, who has power, who has to absorb the pecking. And the ladder is the way that we try to climb our way up. And the pecking order is what we do once we think we know where everyone belongs. Like, many of us could leave a staff meeting or a party or a dinner party. We could leave a gathering like that with a pretty good sense of who had status in the room, who wanted status in that room, who felt ignored in that room, and then where we thought we fit. Because we learn to ask these little ranking questions, don't we? What do you do? Where do you live? Where do your kids go to school? What's your job title? What's your job title? Who reports to you? Are you the regional manager, the assistant regional manager, or the assistant to the regional manager? Yeah. See, we all know how this works. We totally know how this works. We can walk into a room. We can figure out pretty quickly the pecking order of things. And by the way, pastors do this as well. You know, how big is your church? How many services do you have? How many staff? How many people came on Easter? Like, we're all pretty good at pecking orders than we would like to admit. But here's where it gets sticky, is that once we decide where people are in the pecking order, we tend to treat people above us with admiration or respect or careful attention, and we tend to treat the people we see below us with less sensitivity, less patience, sometimes even dismissal or contempt. And then we're good Christians, so we don't say it out loud usually. We just kind of know how this works, right? Like, if somebody seems influential or important or successful or impressive or connected, we know how to turn up the charm. And if somebody might seem, you know, I don't know, inconvenient or needy or awkward or unable to help us climb, we might treat them as less worthy of our attention. That's the world we live in. And into that world comes Jesus. Into our pecking orders, into our ladder climbing, into our grasping for status, and to people who struggle with being human, Paul writes the words we have already read, verse 5 of Philippians 2, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then Paul goes on, lets us in on something stunning. Jesus, who was truly God, but he didn't consider equality with God as something to exploit or to cling to. He made himself nothing. He emptied himself. He came down the ladder, took on flesh and blood, took the nature of a servant. And I just want to pause right there where it says, Jesus, being in very nature God, became a servant. And we read that phrase and we might just kind of assume like, well, yeah, that means like Jesus, in spite of being God, he served. And that would make sense to our kingdoms, to our way of thinking, our way our world works. That makes sense to us. Like, if I'm God, I don't have to serve anybody, right? That's one of the perks of being God. But what if what's being said here is actually the opposite? What if Jesus came as a servant, not in spite of the fact that he was God, but he came as a servant precisely because he is God? In fact, brilliant scholars point out that that's exactly what Paul is declaring here in this verse, that Jesus came as a servant, not in spite of the fact that he was God, but precisely because he is God. And then Hawthorne goes on to say, it is the nature of God to serve. How does that land for you? It is the nature of God to serve? Like, think about it long enough, it almost sounds unbelievable. It certainly didn't gel with how the other gods and idols and things being worshipped in Jesus' day or in our day work. This is the nature of God to serve. It almost sounds unbelievable to us, but this is exactly what the life of Jesus shows us. See, when God shows up on earth in Jesus, God shows up in the form of a servant. When God shows up that way, Jesus was not disguising who God is. He was revealing who God is. Catch that? When Jesus shows up as a servant, he's not disguising who God, no, he's revealing who God actually is. One guy said it this way, the LinkedIn profile of Jesus is not the resume of someone climbing up the ladder. It's a story of someone coming down, and in the kingdom of God, in the way of God, the way Jesus invites us to follow him and live, that coming down posture, that's true greatness. I mean, just picture this with the ladder here. Just think about the ladder. Paul begins in verse 6 at the very top. He says, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Now, tough question for you here, but where would you all rank that job title, God? Like, anyone? You probably can't get a promotion from there, right? You're just kind of at the top when you start at God, right? Yeah. But Jesus does not cling to the top rung. He does not treat equality with God as something to be exploited or grasped, so he comes down the rungs of the ladder. And it says he takes the nature of a servant. Next slide. And then lower still, he becomes a human being. The God, think about this. The God of the universe takes on flesh and blood. So he's coming down another rung. But even there, even on a human level, even on a human level, some people live as kings or live as celebrities. So God gives himself another demotion. It says he humbles himself. So he's born into poverty, into parents who struggle to survive. And then actually, if you read the story of Jesus, he and his family become refugees in Egypt for a little while, which, by the way, just that fact alone might be, you know, worth thinking about who Jesus has a heart for before we devalue or insult others, because Jesus understands refugees. He was one. He humbled himself, but that wasn't enough. That was not low enough. He keeps going down. And the text says he became obedient to death. Now listen, if it was up to me, then the nice thing about being God is that you never have to deal with dying, because, you know, you're God. But not Jesus. He actually allows death to become a part of his own story. And then there's one rung lower yet, even death on a cross. Now, when you get to that one right there, when you hit death on a cross, you hit rock bottom. In fact, among Jesus' own people back then, they would say this. They said, cursed is anyone who is hanged on a tree. See, crucifixion was the worst. It was despised. It was brutal. It was shameful. Crucifixion was meant to strip a person of dignity. Most often, they actually were completely stripped and naked. That's what crucifixion was intended to do. And Jesus, remember, he's God, top of the org charts. He humbled himself, allowed himself to be killed all the way rock bottom on a cross in a brutal, brutal way. He allowed it. See, Jesus went down the ladder as far as he could go, not in spite of the fact that he was God, but precisely because he was and is God. And one of the problems with you and I spending our whole life climbing up the ladder is that on our way up, we will go right past Jesus, because he is on his way down. He's on his way down. Like, if we're busy protecting our place in the pecking order, we're going to miss him. We're going to miss him. Because Jesus serves, then he calls us to do the same. That's what following Jesus really is all about, to live as he lived, to love as he loved, to serve as he served. So that's why Jesus shows up. He comes to earth. He shows up. He's a rabbi, a teacher, and then he gathers this little community of disciples to teach people what life is designed to look like when we follow his way, when we walk in his kingdom. He's going to teach these disciples. He's wanting to teach you and me. He draws it out very practical ways, but they had a hard time with this teaching because, like you and me, they were graspers. They were climbers. They liked to peck, but they had issues like we have issues. In fact, one of their ongoing running arguments that would happen over and over, the argument essentially was this: who's the number one disciple? Who's the number one disciple? Apparently, even the disciples wanted to know who is hen number 10, okay? And one example of one of these arguments, Matthew chapter 20, it's, think of this, the last week of Jesus' life, and the disciples James and John, they have their mom come over to Jesus and ask, hey, Jesus, would you make us the number one disciples, right? And then the other disciples hear about this, and they are ticked. Probably because they didn't think of it first, but you know. So here's Jesus' response. Verse 25, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, power over, they lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man, that's Jesus' title for himself, just as Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a as a ransom for many. Now, what I think is actually kind of bonkers here is, like, when you put this in the place of Jesus' ministry, this is the last week before he's crucified, right? But, so we're 3 years in. 3 years in. Apparently, the lecture method wasn't getting through their heads. So later that week, actually the night Jesus is betrayed, Jesus decides to drive the point home in a very powerful way. Think of the scene. Just set up the scene. It's the night he was betrayed. They are gathered for the Passover meal, what we celebrate as the Last Supper. Jesus is about to be betrayed and killed. They don't know that. They don't know any of that. So they show up to this feast, the Passover meal, and there was one detail that nobody took care of, finding a servant to be the foot washer. Seeing a room full of ladder climbers, nobody volunteers to be hen number 10. And back in that day, foot washing was bottom of the ladder kind of work, right? Think about it. People mostly wore sandals. The roads they traveled were dusty and muddy and full of, you know, animal traffic. Get it? So, like, right? Feet. Feet were not the most hygienic of body parts. In fact, they didn't sit at chairs on a table. They had a table about 18 inches up. So you're kind of reclined on your side with some pillows, but your feet are often in some pretty near somebody else's head. So good idea. The foot washing is really good idea. So when you came for a meal, your feet needed to be washed when you came into someone's home, and a servant or a slave would do it. But that night, nobody moved. Nobody did it, right? Picture this. The night Jesus is betrayed, they're all gathered for the meal. I can picture them arguing amongst themselves right here. One of them's like, hey, dude, I got the meal, so I'm not doing it, right? Another guy goes, hey, well, I went to the market. I bought the food, so I'm not doing it. And one of them's probably like, well, whose job was it to get somebody else in here to wash our feet? And Jesus, being in very nature God, precisely because he is God, takes up a towel. John 13 tells us he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Just picture, like, knowing what we know now about foot washing, and think about this, seriously. What? Jesus is the rabbi. He's the master teacher. These 12 in the room are his disciples. They are his apprentices. And yet Jesus gets down on his knees, takes a basin of water, a towel. He takes those dirty, unclean, poo-filled feet in his hands. He washes their feet, which, by the way, that also means that he even washed the feet of the guy that he knew was about to walk back out that door and betray him. He washes that guy's feet. I mean, these guys, they were climbers, just like you and me. And then when he was done, he says this to them, "Do you realize what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you must also wash one another's feet." And then, just to make sure they get it, he says, "I've set an example for you so that you may do as I have done to you. And now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." If you do them. Philip's translation says, "You will be blessed if you put them into practice." And he's not talking about just the feet washing. He's talking about taking that lower place and serving. It was many years ago. I think it was Todd Hunter, who's now an Anglican bishop, and he said to myself and a group of my friends, he started what Jesus started what might be called the Fellowship of the Towel. Right? He said Jesus started what might be, that's what we're looking at today, the fellowship of the towel. And in this fellowship of the towel community, there was to be no pecking order, no climbing, no comparing, no competition, just a bunch of foot washers who know that grasping just drains the life right out of us. I mean, think about this. If it is the nature of God to serve, what does he know that we don't? That's his name. What does he know that we don't know or believe or trust? See, if we do trust the words, if we trust the way of Jesus, what we start to discover is that towel bearing brings more fullness than ladder climbing ever could. It's really true. In fact, the rest of the Philippians passage, we read it earlier, we'll just put it on the screen, but we see what happens then is that Jesus goes down the ladder to the lowest rung, down to the lowest rung, and then it said he was exalted by God to the highest place. So there's a day coming, Paul is saying, where everyone is coming down off the ladder, and every knee will touch the ground, and every tongue will confess. So that means every king, every president, every billionaire, every celebrity, every critic, every pastor, every single one of us, every knee will bow. You and I, our knees will touch the ground. And every tongue will acknowledge and say, confess means just to say it out loud. Every tongue will confess that the one who humbled himself to the lowest place has been given the highest name. And it is this Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who demonstrated that serving is the path to joy. He invites his disciples, he invites you and me into the fellowship of the towel, again from John 13. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them, if you practice them. Like just to me, like I see that and go, wow, it's not enough to just know these things. It's good to know, not enough to know. Our calling, the invitation, is to then do them. And so what does God want to do through the Hope family? See, I think he wants this to be a community, this community in the middle of a crazy culture of grasping and climbing. He wants our church family to be a place where ladder climbers are transformed into towel bearers, to be a fellowship of the towel. And by the way, that begins with those of us who are pastors and leaders around here. At Hope, we often use the language of servant leadership because there is no other kingdom kind, servant leadership. And so I just want to even say very plainly, like pastors are lead servants. Pastors are lead servants. Pastor is not first a title to hold or a position to protect or a platform to build. A pastor is not a rung on a religious ladder. No, to pastor, it's a calling to love, to serve, to shepherd, to equip, to protect, and to pour ourselves out for the people that God has entrusted to us. And I love seeing that on our team. It's a beautiful thing. I often say that Jesus is the chief shepherd, right? He's the chief shepherd. This church belongs to Jesus, and we who are pastors are under shepherds. We serve under Jesus for the good of his people by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so our pastors, our staff, our leadership team, our ministry leaders, all of us are invited to serve the same way we take up the towel. We serve, we bless, we want to build up Christ's body. We want to help people find and follow Jesus together. See, that's the posture of our leadership, of our staff culture. It's not pecking, it's not bossing, it's not grasping, it's not competing, it's not climbing, it is serving. And I'm, again, just so honored that I get to see that up close in ways that most people don't get to see, and I know you get to see it with the people that minister to you in ways that I don't know about. It's a beautiful thing. It's a really good thing. So that's us as leaders. How about us as a church family? Here's a question for us as a church family. What does it look like when we all learn to serve like Jesus? When we become known as a community for recovering ladder climbers? Just think about it. What if we saw each other in the lobby before service or in our small groups and we're like, hey, my name's Doug and I'm a recovering ladder climber, right? What's it look like for us to just put a towel over our arm and start asking the people around us, hey, how can I serve? How can I help you? Can I walk with you? And again, so many of you do this so beautifully already. It's always just amazing to watch this go on around here. But I also know that it's not automatic. Like, it's not automatic to do this because, listen, the ladder is so addictive. It is hard to get off of it by ourselves. Like, I know that I need help. And by the way, good news, Jesus will help. He specializes in pulling down ladders and picking up towels. And I know that there are times where I really struggle with this. I know some of us also struggle with this. I was working on this message, and I had my day planned out, blocked to, you know, finish the sermon, and then I got an email asking if I could meet, and I was like, oh, and I knew this was going to take at least an hour. Actually took more than an hour. So my immediate internal response was, no, I can't do that. I have to rewrite a sermon on how important it is to serve. I've got to convince people to set aside their petty agendas and get off their ladders and do acts of love. I can't go serve like that, right? Some of you got it, right? Yeah, it took me a little bit. Because I did, pretty quick, feel the disconnect. So I got a little chance to serve, but I also got a sermon illustration out of it, so I don't even know if it counts. So, now to be clear, taking up the towel doesn't mean we say yes to everything that comes our way, right? It is not letting people walk all over you. Like Jesus himself served people deeply, and he still often said no. And if there's something big in front of you that you're being invited into or asked to do, like, just ask God. Practice what, God, what do you want me to know about this? What do you want me to do? And if he says, yeah, do that, then okay, great. Then serve there. But if he doesn't tell you to do it, don't go do a bunch of stuff that he isn't telling you to do. So this doesn't mean saying yes to absolutely everything that comes your way. But there are a bunch of ways to describe what it would look like to pick up the towel. Like, very practically, it could happen at work when you are in a meeting. And you have a chance to promote yourself, but instead, you decide to build someone else up. That's taking up the towel. Like, great leaders, great servant leaders have a knack for giving credit instead of taking credit. Another way, it might be a way to take up the towel is where somebody's pouring out their frustration, and instead of you trying to fix them or offer cliched advice or slap a Bible verse on it, instead, you listen and then try to offer some words of encouragement. Maybe even offer the words you wish someone would speak to you. That'd be a way of taking up the towel. Maybe at home. Do not elbow your spouse here, please. Keep your elbows to yourself. Maybe at home, it could happen where there's 1,000 just ordinary moments, like dishes got to be done and laundry needs to be moved and something has to be put away or someone has to be listened to, and you find a way to serve, to take up the towel. Might happen here at Hope. Every week there are places where you can take up a towel and serve. We have great teams, but there is a need for more people to join the team. Greeting team and our tech team and our slide people and our video stream and our small groups and our kids ministry. There's always a need in our kids ministry and our teen ministry or our landscape team. We really could use ways to serve there. Our prayer team, our hospitality, or maybe to help in the office or help with the there's so many ways you could take up a towel here if you want to. But it doesn't have to be inside our walls. It can happen outside of our walls, like our San Marcos Elementary school ministry that we're involved in during the school year, or it could be going to the Navajo Nation to work with the Naomi House, or it could be every year when we go down to one mission in Mexico and build homes down there. It could be with Matthew House, where this fall, I think, again, we'll be offering and helping do English as a second language courses for refugees. There are so many places, you guys, to take up a towel. So many places. So as I step away now, as Heidi and I step away for the next 3 months, this is my prayer for you, for us, because we're still a part of the family, right? My prayer is that we keep on being and becoming the kind of community that Jesus has always been forming here, a grace-based family where anyone can find and follow Jesus, that we keep becoming more and more a community where recovering ladder climbers can become towel bearers, that we become a family where people don't have to fight for position or attention in order to matter, that we be a church where the Spirit of God keeps making us more like Jesus, more humble, more free, and more full of love. That's my prayer. And I know this church belongs to Jesus, you belong to Jesus, and I trust you into his hands and into the hands of our staff and leadership team and to the rest of the church family. That's my prayer. And now here's my invitation. Here's the question. For each one of us, the question is, do I want my life to be about the ladder or the towel? I want my life to be about the ladder or the towel. I'm going to give us a moment to talk to God about that question, not while the song is playing, but not just to be quiet in a moment. Because there are all kinds of ladders that we can spend our lives climbing: work and achievement and reputation and recognition and financial security, or the ladder of being needed, or the ladder of being right, or being impressive, or being in control. There's all those ladders, but then there is the towel, the way of Jesus, the way of love, the way of serving, the way of coming down the ladder, just as Jesus came down to us. So would you just bow your heads for a moment? So we think through that question, because it's a scary thing to get off the ladder. Ever since the fall, the temptation in each of us is to strive and grasp and achieve and climb, to protect ourselves and prove ourselves, to go up, 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 but God comes down. So just between you and God, take a moment right now and talk with him. If your desire is to become a towel bearer, tell him. Tell him. If you're tired of living as a ladder climber, tell him. If there's a place where your heart needs to be realigned, you might just tell him and just ask God, would you realign my heart? Tell him, I want to get off the towel, get off the ladder. I want to get off the ladder. I want to follow Jesus in this area. Help me take up the towel and live out of the true heart that you placed in me. So just take a moment in silence. Just tell him in silence right now. You want your life to be about the ladder or the towel? Worship team, will you come? For some of you, this is a good conversation that if you open your heart this week, God's going to flesh it out in ways that will invite you to maybe take some steps, ways to serve, ways to love. And I just encourage you to trust him and say yes, and just watch what he does. Just watch what he does. 4 years ago, I noticed a strip of towel hanging in Brittany's van 4 years ago. And it was this strip of towel, not this one here, but like this. And it was actually 4 years before that is where she had hung it. So 8 years ago, this was, we first used it as a tangible reminder of a towel to connect us to serving like Jesus. 8 years. So for crying out loud, it's time for a new towel, okay? But here's the invitation, and I'll invite you to stand, not yet, but in a moment. But the invitation is, if you want to say yes to being a part of the fellowship of the towel, if you want to say yes to learning what it means to love and serve like Jesus, if you want to say yes to being a part of the fellowship of the towel, you want to say yes to giving up grasping and climbing and pecking and instead follow the way of Jesus in humility and love, there are two stations up front here. So, Heidi, will you join me at this one? And I want to invite Brittany and Dalton. Will you guys come over here? You guys are great examples. I've watched you since the first time I came here 9 years ago and then came on staff almost 9 years ago. Watched you guys do this really well. And as we sing in a moment, if your heart is to say yes to this invitation on the screen, I'm going to invite you to move from your seat to one of these stations, and we're going to meet you there with this tangible thing that can be a reminder. It can be a reminder and a welcome to the fellowship of the towel. We're going to just hand it to you and bless you. And by the way, you don't have to have it all figured out or know where you're going to serve in your life. You don't have to promise that you're going to now serve perfectly. This is simply a step of saying yes to Jesus, yes to his way and his humility, yes to his love, and yes to his Spirit forming more of his life in us. And my hope is that when you look at wherever you put this, wherever you tie it, wherever you have it, that it's a reminder to you of the way of Jesus, and that you're not alone in it, because there's a whole fellowship of people here at Hope who want to love and serve like Jesus. So would you stand, and as the team begins to sing, I just invite you to come on up to either of the front stations.